stand with us.
Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises.
Don't join the one that never ends.
Good morning and welcome to worship. At this time, we'd like for everyone to take their Connect card from their bulletin and begin to fill it out. If you don't have a card or a pen or pencil, raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. The front of the card has a place for your name and other important information like a current email address and phone number. You might ask, why do I need to fill out a Connect card? We believe there are several great reasons why you should. One, this assists us in acknowledging your presence here today and following up on our absentees. Two, our Connect card provides us with constantly updated information on you regulars, so you won't miss any communications from the office during the week. Three, the box you check on the left front will tell us if you are visiting, and we can respond to your visit and supply future communication. We really want to thank our visitors for coming and invite them to return. Four, on the back of the card, you can request any desired information about us and let us know about things we can join you in prayer for as you encounter life this week. We really appreciate you taking time to do this for us, and we hope to connect with you soon and hope you will come and connect with us again in future services and events. Thanks again, and may God bless you as we continue to connect with Him this morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is so good to see all of you this morning. Happy Palm Sunday to you all. Did the kids not look good this morning? I mean, we've got so many kids now, it's just like, wow, we've got so many. With that being said, as our kids grow, our need for children's workers grow. We've had down at the bottom of the bulletin in past week a need for some volunteers for some Sunday school teachers or some substitutes. If at any point in time you want to be a part of the craziness that is the kids, come see myself, come see Carolyn. We can get you guys hooked up, connected, in a spot, filled in, or whatever. But we love our children, and we love to see that group grow. But with that, there also is a need. So, like I said, if any time you feel led to help out, please come see me. Today, directly following service, we are having lunch. Today is our dogs celebration potluck lunch. I've been informed that there are at least 34 deviled eggs. Woo! So at least I can get at least maybe two or three if I get in there first. But we're inviting everybody to stay. Oh, can I call dibs from up here? Apparently not, says my wife. But we invite all of our first-time guests and visitors to stay. We would love to have everyone stay and fellowship today. Next Sunday is Easter. We still have several bags of eggs out on the Welcome Center that need candy in those eggs. So whether you take those bags of eggs, put candy in them and bring them back, or bring some candy in to where we can just fill them here. That would be appreciated either or. But next Sunday, directly following service, we'll have an Easter egg hunt. During that Easter egg hunt, any of our guests or first-time visitors, they will have the opportunity to win a pass for the Nixa City Pool for this summer. It's a family pack of four. So invite kids, lots and lots of kids, family, friends, neighbors, whatever. Good. Next Sunday, we will be dismissing Sunday school. We do a continental breakfast from 9 to 9:40, 9:45, and then at 10, we'll actually have our service. So we kind of change up our schedule a little bit next week for that. And then, of course, we dismiss that evening service. My last announcement is men's slow pitch softball is getting ready to start. Several of you have approached me about playing. Anybody else that is still wanting to play, we still have a few spots left open. If there's anybody that has not talked to me, please come see me directly following service. Weather permitting, hopefully we'll get in a couple batting practices before we actually start about the second week of April. So keep your bulletins handy for upcoming times and events.
For the mission moment this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to be able to see how little is much when God is in it. The story was told at the turn of the century about a little girl who had tried to go to Sunday school, and she was told that she couldn't come in because the church was too small and too crowded. She was standing on the sidewalk crying, and the pastor walked by and found out what was going on, and he said, "Come on, I'll take you in, and I'll find a place in the Sunday school for you." Well, he kind of knew probably what had happened. The little girl had on ragged clothes and was not very clean. But anyway, he found her a place in the Sunday school, and she was so happy that happened. And a few years later, this little girl died. And her parents called this kindly pastor to come and help make the arrangements. And the undertaker picked her little body up, and under her body was a little cracked red purse that looked like it probably had come out of the trash can. And inside this little purse, there was a little note that she had written in her own little handwriting. And it said, "I've been saving this money to help build onto our church so more boys and girls can come and they won't be turned away because we're too crowded." They counted the money and there was 57 cents. She had saved it for a couple of years. And so the pastor knew exactly what he was going to do. He took the little purse and the note and he went to the pulpit and he told his people what had happened and he encouraged them to come up with money to build a new church. And everybody got on board, and in just a few years they had collected $250,000 to build this new church. And so 57 cents had turned into $250,000, unheard of in that day and time. And so they built this church. But the newspaper had got wind of the story, and they had printed something, and there was a wealthy realtor that had read this article. And so he got to the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I have this wonderful plot of property that's worth thousands of dollars, and I'd like to sell it to you." And the pastor said, "Oh, we don't have that kind of money. We can't buy all that land." And he said, "Well, I'll make you a deal." He said, "How about 57 cents for all that land?" So the pastor took him up on it. And if you would go to Philadelphia today, you would see a Temple Baptist Church, which seats 3,300 people. There's a large Sunday school room where many, many boys and girls and men and women can go to Sunday school. Amen. Not only that, but there's a Temple University where people can go and get a good education. And then to top it all off, there's a Good Samaritan Hospital. And this is all located in Philadelphia. And in one of the rooms in the building, there's a picture of the little girl hanging on the wall and also a picture of the pastor. And this pastor is the one that wrote the book, Acres of Diamonds. And probably a lot of you have read that book. But it just goes to show that if we don't have very much to give, sometimes we feel like we're not really doing very much for the Lord. 57 cents done all of this. So don't stop and say, "I can't do very much," because we know that God can take whatever we give and do much with it here at home and on the mission field as well.
That's a great story to hear before we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning. Just one announcement that we didn't get into the bulletin, but just for your knowledge, the board voted several years ago to make sure that we made a statement to our community, and so our church offices are closed on Good Friday. And so just so that you know, there will be no one in the office this Friday in honor of Good Friday and the celebration of what Christ has done on the cross. So our ushers will come this morning at this time. We'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. We appreciate so much your faithfulness in giving. And it's amazing what God can do. You know, he took the little boy's lunch and fed the thousands. And he took a little girl's 57 cents and created a great institution. And so as we give, God is able to multiply. And so as we give obediently this morning, we appreciate so much your faithfulness. Brother Bob Davidson served this church for many years as church treasurer and did a wonderful job. Brother Bob, come this morning and ask God's blessing on the offering and receive my tithes and offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this day as we celebrate Palm Sunday. Bless everyone here today, dear Lord. Thank you for all that have come. Bless those who couldn't be here for whatever reason. And ask you to bless this offering now for pray to go for thy intended use. We'll ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Scorned by the ones he came to save. bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, by him the precious from the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
I don't know what God's been saying to you while we've been going through the process of worshiping Him this morning. But the music that the Lord has led Amanda to pick this morning is spot on with where we want to go with the message. So I'm going to have to explain some stuff to you later, but here's what I want us to do. What you've been singing about is truth. That's reality. That's the God we serve. That's why Jesus went to the cross. The cross provided certain blessing and benefit to us that we get nowhere else. And so this morning, as we prepare our hearts for prayer, I just want us to experience that. Iris, I know that you've been struggling this morning, and the chemo treatments and things have just robbed her of some feeling good and joy this morning. And Becky just left because of COPD, and we'll have to take that. That's not who we serve. And so I just want us to pray, especially for Becky this morning. I want us to pray for Iris. And if you feel like standing where that's fine. If you feel like coming and sitting on the front seats. But if there's others of you here this morning, if there's something going on in your life physically this morning and you need God's touch, Mark, if you want to come and represent Gina this morning, Troy, if you want to come and represent Julie this morning, whatever works for you guys. But I'm going to pray. Not because I'm anybody special, but because the God I pray to is special. And we're going to claim what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we're going to kick the devil in the tail. Okay? We don't have to be under him. Our God is over him. We don't have to take this garbage. By his stripes we are healed. I realize first and foremost that is a spiritual healing. That is healing from the sin that we have. But Jesus died to bring healing to our bodies and to our spirits. And if you're here this morning and you just need a touch from God, I just want you to come. Nobody's going to come to you per se, but I'm going to pray over you this morning. If others want to gather around you, that's fine. We've got people that just need a touch of God this morning. And that's the God we serve. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And if we're going to celebrate the resurrection next week, we might as well start this week. And we'll get a head start. But we believe in divine healing. We believe in the touch of God. It might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be psychological, it might be something else, but I just know God can do things that people say can't be done, because what's impossible with man is possible with God. And there is nothing too hard for God. Now, I don't know his plan. He's not my bellhop. I don't order God around. But I appeal to the sovereign power of the universe for his hand. His touch on people's lives. You have other needs this morning? You feel free to find a place here at these altars. We'll pause for just a moment. Just feel free to find a place to kneel and pray. Lay whatever burdens you have down. Lift up whatever praise you have. But we're going to pray believing this morning that God wants to touch his children. And we're going to claim what Jesus did on the cross this morning. Amanda, lead us just one more time. If you have need a place to pray, you feel free to come this morning.
Blood was shed for me. There was no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
Father, we come to you this morning. We are here. We assembled in this building because we believe you are the all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-sufficient God. And Lord, we come to give you thanks, to offer up our praise for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the promise of eternity in heaven. We thank you for the plan of salvation. Lord, we desire relationship with you this morning. And Lord, you said in Psalms 103 that you're the God that forgives our sin and heals our diseases. Thank you for making us whole after having been sin sick. Well, Lord, today, even as blood-bought Christians, the corruption that's a part of this world by the fall of man from Adam and Eve in the garden, disease that exists, all the stuff that's going on, the other people that are serving somebody besides you, Lord, we are interwoven with their lives. And disease and sickness and illness is a part of this fallen world. And so we are subjected to that, but Lord, we don't have to be subject to it. And so, Father, we come this morning. Various maladies. Iris dealing with this blood sugar issue and the chemo treatments, and Becky with COPD, Lord, and I know Cheryl's had migraines, and I don't even know what all everybody else is doing. I know that Gina's got to have a biopsy, and Lord, there's just the Julie. Julie's been sick for over a year, and Lord, we're tired, and we don't want to take it anymore. We're not ordering you around, God. We're not telling you what you have to do to prove to us you're God. We're going to serve you no matter what. If we're sick the rest of our lives, Lord, we're going to believe that you're the God of heaven and that you have a plan. But Lord, we don't believe that's what you want. You said we have not because we ask not, so we're asking this morning. We're asking the great God of heaven to touch bodies and to heal minds and spirits. Lord, we've seen your miracle working power. We know what you can do. We've seen it in the lives of many other people. And so this morning, Lord, we come asking for our people. A hand, a touch, the power of God to come in our midst and to give strength and health and healing and wholeness. Take away the suffering. Take away the pain. Take away those things that keep us from operating at the level that we would like to operate at. But Lord, we trust in you. In God we trust. It's not just a line on money. It's not just something printed on police cars. It's our statement. We're here. We're here this morning because we trust you and because we believe that you can touch and heal. So thank you first and foremost for healing our sin-sick souls. But Lord, we would like to receive healing for our bodies, our minds and spirits this day. So I would just ask those of you who are here praying this morning to state your case to God. Lord, here's what I need. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm experiencing. I don't like it. I don't want it. Please take it away. And Satan, we're not going to listen to your lies. And we're not giving you place. We're not giving you a foothold in our lives. And so, Lord, as we line up our lives and our attitudes and our actions with you and your word, we come in faith and confidence to receive the benefit and the blessing that you have for us. We receive this in Jesus' name. We
thank you for it. We love you. We submit to you and to your plan. We know it'll be right. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Iris, Ellen, stand up for me for just a minute and turn around and look back at the white-headed lady back there. Iris, this is Ellen. Ellen, this is Iris. You guys have communicated with each other. All right. So, a little identification there. We are family. We're the family of God. I love my daddy. He's a good, good father. He has so much for us. Turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and 10. And to stick a finger in at Matthew 21. We're going to live in there for a little bit this morning. But I want to take text this morning from the book of Hebrews, and I want to talk to you about breaking the barrier. You're gonna like how this goes with all the music that Amanda picked out this morning. Man, she just laid it all out there for us. Thank you, Amanda. Don't you appreciate our worship leader, our praise team, our tech crew? Yeah, all of them. A good bunch of folks. They are subject first to the power of God and then to the power of electricity. Things don't always work the way you want them to sometimes. There's little bugs and ghosts that go along with it. But they do a good job, and we love them and appreciate them. And they help us come into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to read verses 11 and 12 and then jump over into chapter 10. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Then in chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. What I want you to get a hold of this morning from these verses is the curtain, the Holy of Holies, that there was, and I'll give you the scripture now to preface this. Turn to Exodus, or you can watch it on the screens, but Exodus chapter 26. Verses 31 through 33. This was an order when they built the temple, when they created the first temple. This was the order from God to those who would construct the temple. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. It just blows me away when you look at stuff in history, how people had virtually minimal tools and the stuff that they did that puts to shame what we do now with power tools. I mean, if you go, when we spent time in Europe looking at structures that were still standing from the 1200 BC, you know, and we got houses that can't stand too much wind these days. They just split and the sticks fall and they're done. You know, it's an amazing thing. But skilled craftsmen, they made a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and twisted linen, and there were cherubims, you know, angels. There were cherubims woven into it. Hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. And then going back over to Hebrews and a few verses at the beginning of chapter 9, beginning at verse 3, behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry, but only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. So you get this picture, okay? Here's this people, the Jewish nation, the Israelites, and they now have a temple. They have a temple built for them, and they can go so close to the temple, but only the priest could go into the outer area of the temple. But then there's an inner room that only one priest can go into, the high priest. And he only goes in there once a year. And when he goes in, he takes blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And he goes in to plead the case of the sins of the people. Now, they don't tell it here, but we know that when he went in there, they tied a rope around his ankle, because if he had not prepared himself ceremonially, he would be struck dead. If he was struck dead in the Holy of Holies, how are you going to get him out? Because nobody can go in there but the high priest. You pull him out by the rope on his ankle. So you get what I'm saying? You got to be really connected to get in here. And throughout centuries of time, there was this concept that we would need somebody to go to God for us. We have to have somebody who's worthy to step in, somebody who would be the high priest that would take care of things for us. And the issue is that in Jesus Christ, and this is what we're going to get to this morning, that we were given a different path. So I want to talk to you about breaking the barrier this morning. And you see on this slide, there have been some significant barriers that have been broken in history that we recognize. If you go down to the lower corner, you have the X2. And this, in 1947, John Glenn flew this thing and broke the sound barrier. That was a big deal. That's a big deal. If you go to the center picture, you see Martin Luther King and some others there. And we brought slaves over here, and then we oppressed them and didn't treat them like human beings and forgot we need to ask God's forgiveness. And for some reason, because of that, we created a rift that's gone on for all of time. And if somebody's a different color than we are, we think they're not as good as we are. And we need to get over it, because those are God's kids, same as us. So in 1964, there was a Civil Rights Act that said there's no more color barrier. That was a significant event, although there's some people that still haven't read it and don't get it. And then in 1989, November 19th, I believe, the Berlin Wall came down. The separation of a city because of communism. That was a big blow to communism. And communism has been deteriorating ever since, and we see the split up of all of the Soviet Union and all of that. And so significant barriers, but and we can think about those because they're close enough to our lifetimes or even in our lifetimes to where we can grab that as a reality. But I want to go one that's way better than that. And you don't remember it because you weren't there. But it's recorded in the history book, one called the Bible. And the most significant barrier of all time was broken by a man named Jesus. A man who was not just a man, but a man who was the God-man. Emmanuel, God with us. The Christmas story, the babe in the manger. Now to Easter, to Good Friday, to the cross. That's why he came, you know. The cross was not a mistake. The cross was a plan. It was on purpose. It was with intention. And so this morning we come in and it's Palm Sunday. We have all of this history behind us and oh, how much fun we have. What joy it is to see our children walking around and waving palms and they twirl them like helicopters. They just got all kinds of ways that they share them, you know. And that takes us to Matthew chapter 21. We got that from the historical text of Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. And so I want to talk to you about the Passion Week of Jesus Christ. One of the things that's happened over the last few years is on Palm Sunday, I've preached about the triumphal entry of Jesus, and we've talked about the political, you know, posturing and all that kind of stuff. And I realized, as I was preparing and praying this year, I realized that there's a lot of great truth in there, and there's a lot of great message, a lot of things there. But because we no longer have a community Good Friday service, and because we as a church have not started a Good Friday service, well, maybe that's what we need to do, is start our own Good Friday service. But we don't do that, and so we go from the triumphal entry to Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, we're ready to talk about the resurrection, because that is really good stuff to talk about. And it's like we went from triumphal entry to the resurrection. What happened to the cross and in the grave? We kind of blew right by that. And so this morning, I want to take us to the cross by way of the triumphal entry. I want us to look at the Passion Week of Jesus Christ, which means hang on to your hats because we're going to roll quick. Because there's more sermon here than I can preach. And you don't want me to try. So we're going to look at the entrance of Jesus coming in. We're going to look at the education that he gave, because what you'll find is in the Passion Week of Jesus Christ, the last week that he spent here on this earth, he taught a ton. And we're just going to pull some things right quick out of there. And then we're going to talk about the exit. Not the end, but the exit. Matthew chapter 21. Verses 8 through 11, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. If we really wanted to be authentic this morning, we should have let the kids just throw the palms down on the ground. But then they would have had to pick them up. So it's just easier to let them wave them and bring them to us. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And we sang Hosanna. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So there were a lot of people following Jesus who knew who Jesus was, and they were throwing branches and their coats and stuff down on the ground because that was their appropriate recognition of him as a deliverer, as a coming king, as someone who's going to take charge. You see, because their deal was, we're tired of being oppressed by the Romans. We believe Jesus is going to be the deliverer. And what we know about deliverance is we're not going to be under Roman rule anymore. They had no spiritual connotation to this whatsoever. It was all political. It's like, okay, here's Jesus. And now we're going to be the big guys again. We're going to be the most important people again. We're going to be the ruling nation again. You know, yay for the Israelites. Let's hear it for the Hebrews. Fooey on the Romans. Down with the Romans. And Jesus' heart was broken. Matter of fact, it says before he entered the city, when he stood on the hill, he looked at Jerusalem and cried. Because they didn't get it. He knew they weren't going to get it. But they're waving palm branches. They're throwing them down. They're throwing their cloaks down. They're welcoming this coming king. But there are people that don't know who Jesus is. And they're saying, who is this guy? Why? What's all the commotion? And so then people begin to testify. Well, you know, I was over in Galilee, and I was over in Judea. I was over here, and this guy healed that person, and this guy did this. And man, you ought to hear him talk. This guy can really deliver it. This guy can bring the mail. And stuff happens. When you get around him, stuff happens. I mean, like he took some sardines and biscuits and fed 5,000 people. This guy is amazing. So he says, okay, well, let's go see him. Let's get his autograph. Which is the thing people do when they get around somebody they think is somebody. Because they were looking for Jesus to lead a kingdom by their earthly perceptions. Somebody who's going to be president. Somebody who's going to be king. Somebody who's going to be in charge. Somebody who's going to get rid of the bad people and lift up the good people. But that wasn't Jesus' job. It wasn't his plan. So he began, as he came into town, now that he had their attention, he began to talk to them. And as we go through the Passion Week of Jesus Christ, we find this education that he's giving. And so we're going to just kind of float through here right quick. And there are some things that are directives, and there's some things that are indictments, because what we find happening is that before the week was over, Jesus was ripping the church big time. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. There was this little incident where he became a little angry, because people were disrespecting the temple. This is what he said. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves. So we begin to find some things in these passages of Scripture where Jesus was giving some direction. He was making some statements. So we're going to hear some directives, we're going to hear some indictments, and in this particular verse we get both. Because he says, here's the deal. My house will be called a house of prayer. What's supposed to be happening here is you're supposed to be praying to God. That's what's supposed to be taking place here. You guys have turned it into a retail sales place. You're making money. That is not what you're supposed to be doing. So you have made it into a den. So now there's the indictment. You've made it a den of robbers. You're wrong. You're behaving badly. Change your ways. The indictment stated. The direction, make this a house of prayer. We move on to chapter 22. Chapter 22. And verse 21, they're always trying to trick him. They're always trying to give him questions they think he can't answer. And he always blows them away. You'd think they would learn. They make fools out of themselves. They don't get it. So they're saying, oh, let's talk to him about taxes. Everybody hates taxes. And so they show him a coin and say, what do you think we ought to do with this? What about paying taxes? And this is what he says to him. He says to him, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what's God's. Which means it takes taxes to have amenities. If you want stuff, you got to pay taxes to pay for it. But remember to give God what's God's, because it's all God's. So basically, Jesus gave them a directive. Pay your taxes and your tithe. If you're not doing both, you're not being obedient to God. If you want to be considered an example, do the stuff you're supposed to do so somebody can follow you. Matthew 24, verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So he's been talking to the church. He's been telling them, you know, here's what's going to happen. He's trying to get them all set up to know what to expect. And he just says, be ready. Be ready because you're not going to know. Now, I got to tell you, this is not anything I'm necessarily proud of. It's just where I am. I am not a prophecy buff. I've had guys that could come and preach an entire revival week on prophecy. Every night, preach about prophecy. Give you all kinds of cool stuff and everything, and it's great. And I don't think you should be ignorant of the fact that Jesus is coming again. But if you don't already know by now, let me give you a quick synopsis of my take on this whole second coming thing. Over and over and over again, Jesus said, you're not going to know. So isn't it a waste of time to be trying to figure it out? When you could be talking to people about Jesus? If you sit around and try to figure out something that God has already told you over and over and over again, you're not going to know. An awareness of the signs, I think that's great. I'm very in awe of those guys who, you know, kind of say, here's some things that you'll see happen before we get there. But to those people who spend a lot of time in detail trying to get right down to say, oh, well, I know you're not going to know exactly, but I'll get you within 30 seconds. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. This is 2018. Where'd I go wrong? Trying to figure it out. What he said was be ready. Now. All the time. Not try to guess when it's going to be so you can try to get some last minute confessional in and go around and do whatever you want to for most of your life and then try to cash in. What he's saying is if you really want to get this right, recognize me for who I am now. Love me, serve me, live for me. And you'll be cool when it gets here. You know, people have this thing about tribulation. Is Jesus going to come? You know, is the rapture going to be a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? And I fit into that category about pan-trib. That means it all pans out in the end. If you know and love Jesus. If you're ready, it'll pan out. And since you don't know when it's going to happen, it will really be kind of stupid to wait a long time before trying to correct the situation. That sounds kind of raw. I apologize for the sound of rawness there. I don't apologize for trying to get you to pay attention and realize you ought to do something about this now. Okay? Because I really would like for you to go. I want you to be in heaven. I don't want you to try to wait until the last minute and get in. I want you to get ready now. Because that's what Jesus said to do, get ready now. He went on and he was dealing with the frailty of these guys. And he gives them a directive. He's praying in the garden. He's asked them to go with him in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. He says to them, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. This prayer thing's a pretty significant deal. It should be happening a lot. We're supposed to be praying in the house of God. We're supposed to be praying, you know, when we're out and about so we don't fall into temptation. This prayer thing is big. That's why the number one thing the devil tries to keep you from doing is praying. Going beyond, Lord, I need help. Getting to the point of saying, I love you, God. I want to spend time with you. I want to know you as well as I possibly can. I want to know everything about you I possibly can learn. I want to be in tune with you. I want to be in sync with you. I want your Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing me every moment of my life. So that I don't do what I want to do, I do what you want to do. And to get to that place, you have to spend time with God. Watch and pray. Directives. Call my house a house of prayer. Make my house a house of prayer. Give to Caesar what's Caesar. Give to God what's God. Be ready when Jesus is coming because he is coming. And watch and pray because the devil's after you all the time. Now, that's not everything he said. He taught a lot of stuff. But those were some directives that, you know, jump out. But then there were these indictments. If you go back to Matthew chapter 21, in verse 43, it says, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. Okay, what we talk about, what we start getting really heavy into last January Every one of us should be doing the Great Commission. Every one of us has a responsibility to make disciples. It is not just for people that have been called to become full-time evangelists. It's not just for people who are extroverted. It's not just for people who are tanked up and went from a horrible black life of sin, and now they have this huge testimony of all these things God delivered them from. It is every believer's responsibility to share their faith with other people and try to help them come to Christ. Everybody. And the indictment on the church was, a lot of you aren't doing it. And so what's he say? He gets into that 43rd verse. And he says, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. Taken away. Okay, for those people who have been raised in some kind of doctrine that teaches eternal security, and that once you accept Jesus Christ, you can never get away from him, even if you don't like him. You're stuck with him forever. I'm sorry. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. So you were in the right position doing the right thing, but when you stop doing the right thing, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. This is about relationship. This is about staying up to date. This is about being where you're at currently. And given to people who will produce its fruit, reproduction. Matthew 23:27. He got on the Pharisees. They were the organized church. Matthew 23:27. He's in the middle of all kinds of giving them fits. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Anybody know what dead men smell like? Dead things stink. You're like whitewashed tombs on the outside. You look pretty, but when you find out what you're made of, you stink. Words of Jesus to the most religious people of the day. Saying it's about really having the goods on the inside. You can keep all the rules you want, but if your heart is not right, if you don't have mercy, if you don't have the love of God, you can obey all the rules you want and still miss out. And then he presses even harder. Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And in verse 45, he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. So it's about our heart moving us to action. We need to have compassionate hearts, but our compassionate hearts need to move us to help people. Because whatever you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. Whatever you didn't do to the least of these, you didn't do to me. And then in Matthew 26, that same verse that he was talking to those disciples who were with him in the place of prayer. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. That was the directive, but here's the indictment. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. You're not going to get it done without my help. This is not willpower. This is divine willpower. This is about the Spirit of God living in us and guiding us and directing us. And so he had all this amazing teaching, and I encourage you in this Passion Week as we move from here to the resurrection, I would encourage you as a devotional. People are always saying to me, well, I don't read devotion because I don't know where to start. Anywhere. If you read the Bible, you can start anywhere. Now, granted, there's some things that, you know, chronologically make some sense, but I would just encourage you this week to sit down with Matthew 21-27 and spend some time with Jesus in the last week of his life. And find out what he said. And do it. Put it into practice. Apply it to your lives. And then we get to his exit from earth as we knew him in his years of life and ministry. It's not the end of things, but the exit. And I want us to go to the cross for a few moments. For they listened to his teaching. He had them all stirred up. They were madder than hops. And they said, "We're going to kill you. We've been aiming to kill you for a long time now. We're going to get the job done." And so they captured him, which wasn't hard since he was standing there waiting for them. And they tried him, which was a travesty because there wasn't anything legal or lawful about it. They didn't even follow their own laws. If you study that, you'll find out they didn't do anything they were supposed to do the way they were supposed to do it. It was a kangaroo court. And they condemned him. And then supposedly, to look good, offered the opportunity for the people to make a choice, because one criminal is let go at this point in time in history. And so they take Barabbas, who's a known murderer and all those kind of things, and they said, "Oh, you want Barabbas or Jesus?" And they really kind of thought they would get off and get Jesus loose and get their hands clean. And the people said, "Give us Barabbas and crucify that dude. We don't like him because he makes us nervous. He challenges us to change. He says the status quo is not good enough, that we need to look different and act different. He's pushing our buttons and we don't like it, so we're going to push his button one time and he's going to be done and gone." And they beat him, put him on a cross. And then you get into Matthew chapter 27. And here's the whole point. Verse 50, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain, the beautiful, big cherub curtain that stood between the holy place and the most holy place, where only one high priest could go, ripped. There wasn't anybody there. God ripped it. Because he wanted to let you in. He said, "I'm in here, and y'all can come in here with me." And when that happened, the barrier between God and man was broken. And animal sacrifices that would provide blood but would not change hearts no longer were necessary. And the one high priest for all time was Jesus Christ, and he provided the opportunity for every person who expresses faith in him to have access to all the blessing and benefit of heaven. And I can walk right into the throne room of God, and he's got a lap big enough for me and everybody else in the world. And he wrapped his arms around me. And he said, "Son, what do you need?" We can have a conversation. A conversation that's not just about what I need, but just a conversation to talk about what's going on. To ask questions and to find answers and to have fellowship and friendship, relationship, to ask for things for other people, to intercede on behalf of others. And God never gets tired of listening, and he never runs short of answers and solutions, because the barrier was broken, and you don't need anybody else to talk to God for you. You can talk to God yourself anytime, anywhere, any place. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have an altar. The altar is in your heart where you bow. The temple is your heart. You have everything you need because God lives in you. if you have accepted him as your Savior, confessed your sins, and received him and all of the blessing and benefit and resources of heaven are at your access. I don't always know how God is going to distribute them. I don't know exactly what the answers to our questions are going to be. But I can tell you this, I had a really good earthly father, and sometimes when I went to him and asked for stuff I thought I really would like to have, he said no. And I didn't like it. I didn't always understand it. But that man fed me every day, gave me a place to sleep, clothed me. I had no reason not to trust him. I didn't always agree with him. Sometimes I argued with him. Usually not very long for very much, because my dad said stuff one time and you followed or you were toast. Belts were used for more than holding your pants up. But I respected him because I knew he loved me and wanted the best for me. And when I ask God for things or about things, I already know that while it may not always be what I want, the way I want it, when I want it, that he's going to know what's best for me. And I would have loved to have been already done preaching before we sung all those songs, because then they would have made a lot more sense, I think. But I could not pray at the end of our worship. The theology was there. The truths were there. And I believe that God wanted to touch the lives of his people. And so we ask. And we ask believing that he's going to. Amen. So here's where we end. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Verses 59 and 60. Going to Pilate, this speaking of Joseph, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled the big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. So this morning, on this Palm Sunday, looking into Good Friday and the end of the Passion Week, Jesus is in the grave. I can assure you, he won't stay there. But for today, where I want your focus to be is not on the empty tomb. We'll get to do that next week. But on the cross. You see, it wasn't shiny and pretty like that one. And getting there was tough and cost him his life. But he gave his life. Nobody took it from him. He came here on purpose. He stayed for 33 years, did exactly what his father wanted him to do on purpose, so you and I could go to heaven. So you and I could be forgiven. So you and I could be in a relationship with God that God started at creation. And so here's the consideration this morning. Are you in that relationship? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you at some point in time confessed your sins, acknowledged that you're a sinner, and said, God, I'm headed for hell without your help? Because that's the truth. There isn't any other way to get into heaven. And nobody's got any automatic ends. Every one of us, every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Years ago, there was a commercial on TV. The guy was in a salvage yard. the hood on a car would pop up and a guy would be there with a Fram oil filter. And he said these words: "You can pay me now or pay me later." Better be ready. Pay now. Confess your sins. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because if you don't, you will later. But it might be too late. By the time you say, "I bend my knee and I confess with my tongue," it might be too late if you're forced to do it. But I'm just going to tell you, it's going to happen. Now or later, it's going to happen. And so we would love for it to happen now, and you get all the blessing and benefit of that. And as believers, do not, I beg of you, do not let the devil lie to you and tell you that this life is going to get the best of you. Because it's not going to happen. By the grace of God and with His help, whatever you face, you can come out of if you go about it correctly. Whatever it is you're up against, however deep the hole seems, it's not too deep for God. Begin to give Him full reign in your life. Follow His direction. He'll pull you out of the hole. I promise. It'll happen. But you've got to honor Him His way. You can't change the rules. You can't say, "God, that's a nice suggestion, but I'm going to do it this way." You can't do that. You read the book and you follow the instructions. And it'll pay off. Amen. Stand with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank You for this day. Man, we are so excited that You are the one high priest for all time, and we don't have to just go into the Holy of Holies once a year and wait to see if You're going to forgive our sins. You, through Jesus Christ on the cross, have provided everything we need for all forgiveness, and You have given us access. You have broken the barrier. And You have given us access anytime, anywhere, any place to talk to You directly and to commune with You and to have relationship with You. And our relationship is not dependent upon anybody else. And we don't have to worry about whether somebody else prepared themselves correctly for us to talk to You. Lord, we just need to come in the right spirit and frame of mind to receive what You have for us. So, Lord, we pause for a moment here this morning. And these altars are open. And, Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know You, never met You, we'd like to introduce them. And, Lord, if there's somebody here who has gotten to a point and place in their life where they're really not accessing You the way that they can and that You would like for them to, Lord, we just ask that they would just come forward, find a place here at the altars, and just say, "Lord, I want to be up to date, and I don't want anything standing in my way, but I want to be able to receive all the blessing and benefit that Jesus' death on the cross provided for me, because the curtain is torn, the barrier is broken, and access is for everyone." We thank You for that, Lord Jesus. And we pray that You'd help us to make it available to everyone we come in contact with as You provide opportunity. Anyone at all that needs a place of prayer this morning? Then let me encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to take that card that was distributed here about a month ago. That is an Easter invitation, and find someone you can share that invitation with, and let's come next week expecting a packed house, packed not only by people, but packed by the presence and the power of God. Because we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And that our God is not in a grave and not dust, but He's alive and well at the right hand of the Father. Intercedes for you and me. Well, we're gonna have dinner together, and that dinner is for three purposes.